In today's rapidly changing world, we all have questions, and we all want answers. It's on this program that we get our answers from the Word of God. It's time for another episode of A Relevant Word with longtime pastor and best-selling author, Carl Gallup. Welcome to A Relevant Word with Pastor Carl Gallup of the Pensacola, Florida area. And I'm Kevin King. Pastor Carl, today is going to be a special show because we are going to walk away from this show feeling awesome.
I think we should.
I mean, when you hear the Word of God and when you learn something new about the Word of God, you feel awesome anyway. But there's so many encouraging, deeply encouraging things that God speaks to us through His Word. And today we're going to visit some of those things.
Right.
We're going to start in 2 Corinthians, and this is going to be a blessing. And I'm happy that you're here with us.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Kevin, for those kind words. And yeah, and I'm looking forward to sharing this. Today I get to be preacher pastor. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I always am, but I mean, I'm just going to kind of preach a little bit and devotionalize a little bit, but hopefully it'll be much deeper than just a devotion. But I want to take you on a journey. The relevancy of it is for you to see you how God sees you. And I mean this. I mean, this is, you'll see the power of it is beyond what you might be thinking now.
That's kind of a scary thing to think about, though.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I want to know how God sees me.
Well, here's the thing. Thank you for saying that. Let me say this. So you're a parent or a grandparent. You got little children in the house. Okay, well, they're pretty transparent. First of all, we're much older, much wiser than them. We used to be children. We've had children. Now we got grandchildren. So we look at our little grandkids, 2, 3, 4 years old. We listen to them talk. We listen to their thoughts. We look at their personality. We know almost everything about them. I mean, whatever they think, they say. Okay, but they might think, man, that's a little scary. But we as the loving grandparents, we don't even think anything about it. We just look up and say, I love them. Now, there's some tweaking we need to do. There's some editing we need to do. There's some changes that need to be made. But I don't think less of them at all. My love overshadows the way they are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I tell people all the time from the pulpit, I say, look, it is true. God loves you just like you are, but he will never leave you just like you are. He will change you. He will work in you. He will speak to you. He will minister to you. He will arrange things in your life that convict you and then encourage you, and then it changes you. And he loved you like you were when you came to him in all of your junk, but he's not going to leave you like you were. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So there's another. See, this is a twofer today. They're getting two messages today. you're getting two messages, folks. But anyway, but thank you for that, Kevin. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It is kind of scary when we think God knows us. So today I'm going to show you what God thinks of you, what he's called you to be. Now, you're going to hear scriptures, most of you that have been in church or in the Word, and those of you that haven't, I'm not talking down to you. I'm just saying if you've been in the Word, you'll know most of these scriptures, but I just want you to hear what they mean. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read 3 or 4 passages that come from starting with verse 28 all the way through to, golly, the end of that chapter. I don't even know what verse it is right now, but I'm just going to read to you sections of it because it's an unfolding declaration of what God's doing and how much he loves us. But listen to this. And we know, this is Romans 8 starting verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. Some translations say God works all things together for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. That's powerful. We'll talk about that in a moment. But then it goes on to say, so what then shall we say in response to this? And then here's the answer. Well, we could say this. If God is for us like that, who can be against us? And I'm going to add the words in the end of it all. Okay, and I'm going to just keep going. It says, so now we know, verse 35, who shall separate us then from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? In other words, trouble and hardship and persecution and famine and nakedness and danger and sword comes to life. It comes to a lot of people. Some of it has already come to some of you that are listening today. But it goes on to say, who can separate us from God's love? It doesn't matter if all those other things are going on. He loves you. And he says, and then it goes on to say, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, folks, chew on that a little bit, because that's going to be the verse I'm really going to jump off on here in a moment. And you'll see, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. That is through God, through Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Verse 38, for I am convinced neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, folks, I'm going to come back in a moment and jump off on that verse 37 of chapter 8 of the book of Romans. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But let's just go back through those three major declarations first in this segment. We go back to verse 28, and I know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Listen, I know those just sound like pretty words, but let me say to you, they are pretty words, but they're not just pretty words. This is a promise of God's word. Now, I can tell you, after 37 years in the ministry, 10 years in law enforcement before that, so I've got a lot of life experience. I'm getting to that age now, Kevin, when I can say, I know what I'm talking about. I'm an old man. You listen to me, right? Do you have those talks with your kids and grandkids sometimes?
I have the talks. I don't know how well they listen.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, but yeah, you don't have the authority of God, you know, but anyway, think about, I mean, I've got a lot of life experience, and especially in the ministry. I mean, even as being a cop, I look back on that time, and there are two or three or four times without any exaggeration, I have commendations of meritorious service and commendations of valor. Not bragging, I just do to prove that I'm speaking the truth. I should be dead. I should have already been dead. But somehow in the middle of those bad things that happened, the shootouts I was in, the melees I was in, the riots I was in, and people attacking me and trying to kill me, and in all of this in 10 years of law enforcement, I worked for two different sheriff's offices under three different sheriffs, a patrol officer, and one of them I did criminal investigations under the direction of the chief criminal investigator. So I know what I'm talking about. And I was law enforcement officer of the year in one of those sheriff's offices, law enforcement officer of the year in another one in another county. So I'm saying all that to say I'm not lying to you. I'm not making this up. I look back on that and I realize that all of those near-death experiences and all of that melee and all of those things being a cop back in the day, God pulled it all together and worked it together for good. He preserved my life. He wasn't done with me yet. He called me into ministry. Now I've spent 37 years in ministry, and every bit of that he has used in my life and in my ministry to stand up when people attack me or attack the word of God, to have some courage, some strength, and that supernatural anointing of God. I'm not taking credit for it. I'm not saying I'm Mr. Billy Bad Boy. I'm just saying I learned things. He grew me up. He used those years to shape me to be a better pastor. Not only that, I've been around death and dying and mayhem and sickness and horrible things, you know, murders and rapes and losing your house because somebody broke in and stole everything. I mean, I've investigated all of that. I've put people in prison for really bad stuff I don't even want to talk about on the radio. But I'm just saying that God has used all of that, because now as a pastor and somebody has devastation in their life, I've been there and done that. I've helped people through it at the law enforcement level. Now I'm helping people through it at the biblical level. And then I look at my own life as a pastor in our own church and times when things happen that we thought, well, this is the end of this. This is the end of my ministry. This is the end of this church. This is the end. And yet, not only did God get us through it, but it actually worked out in the end for the better. I mean, that's what this verse is saying. God says, I haven't left you. I know who you are. I know where you are. I know what I'm doing. You keep your eyes on me. And even when the bad stuff happens, and I know people say, well, God shouldn't let bad stuff happen then. Well, no, we're living in Satan's world right now. It's a fallen world. Jesus has taken care of it on the cross. We're in the fourth quarter of the football game. The alarms get ready to sound. Jesus is coming back. But in the meantime, the, quote, game is still going on. So God's saying, even in the midst of all of that, that fallen world and the sin and the corruption that surrounds you as a child of God, he said, I know where you are. I haven't scratched my head and say, gee, I didn't see that coming. No, he knows. And he's saying, keep your eyes on me, because in the midst of it, I can make even the bad things have some good stuff in it that will help you in your own life and will help you minister to others. And you will look back on it maybe years later And you will say, okay, what happened was not good. But as the years have gone by, so much good has come from what God has shown me and taught me in the midst of that. Does that make sense, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, I mean, that's just a powerful thing, to hang your hat on, because, I mean, life gets tough out there in Satan's world. And even for God's people, especially for God's people, because we're trying to stand in the Word. We're trying to be people of the Word. We're trying to have a biblical worldview. And the world says marriage can be anything, you know, or gender can be anything, or, you know, all this different stuff. And we're going to scratch our heads saying, well, I don't know if I stand there. Oh, yeah, well, you're a this, you're a that, you're a bigot, you're a, you know, whatever phobe. Just on and on the world attacks. But then as the years go by, you realize that God strengthened you. He's made you deeper in His Word. He's given you opportunity to minister to people. And even in times when you thought the worst was happening and coming down on you, even there, God blessed. It's like Paul and Silas, the Philippian jail in the book of Acts. They go to prison because they're preaching the Word. But in the middle of the night, they're preaching. They're singing and they're praying. They're in stocks. They've been beaten almost half to death. In the middle of the night, God sends an earthquake. And the whole, everything's opened up, and the doors and the shackles, and there's other prisoners there. And the Bible says, and the other prisoners were listening to them. See, they could have easily been cursing God. God, why are you doing this to us? We're your servants. And look, we're down here. We've been beaten. We're put in the dungeon. And look what you've done. No, instead, they were praising Him. They were worshiping. How hard. I don't know. I hope I would be good enough to do that, but I don't know if I would. But they did. And what happens? They're released. They're able to lead the Philippian jailer, his whole family, and probably other prisoners, because they all stayed, to the Lord, and they were baptized. All things can work together for good, even in the midst of terrible things, if you love the Lord and keep your eyes on Him. Does that help? Now, we're going to go much deeper when we come back.
Very comforting words, and we look forward to a deeper dive on this when A Relevant Word returns with Pastor Carl Gallops. For more on Pastor Carl or to listen to his podcast anytime, visit carlgallops.com. For more on Pastor Carl or to listen to his podcast anytime, visit carlgallops.com. Welcome back to A Relevant Word with Pastor Carl Gallops. I'm Kevin King, and we are discovering what we've read probably, or maybe you haven't read, but a lot of people who have grown up in the Word or have heard the Word have heard the words, "You are more than conquerors in me." But it's like, how does God see us? How does He really see us? And it's understanding how He really does see us.
Right.
And Pastor Carl is painting a picture and making it relevant to us, to how God actually sees us.
Yes.
And this is part two, where we're looking forward to a deeper dive on that.
Thank you. Yeah, and often, as we were talking in the first part, he sees us much more lovingly and much more fairly than we see ourselves.
It's very hard to comprehend.
It is hard to comprehend. Again, the grandparent, the grandchildren illustration. And that's why Jesus said in another thing He spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, if you then know how to do good things for your children, in other words, he's implying, and you have sin in your life, how much more will your Father who is perfect in heaven do for you? It's good that God sees us through those eyes of unimaginable love. And it doesn't mean He loves the sin in our life. He hates that, but He does not hate us. And He will work on us to get that out so that we can just enjoy our life and love ourselves more. And then God doesn't love us anymore, but to love Him more, because we see what He's doing in our life. When we come to that scripture in Romans 8:37, it says we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves us. Okay, so in other words, we are conquerors. That is, all things work together for good, and God knows, and we don't have to worry, but we keep our eyes on Him, even in the deepest, darkest stuff. It doesn't mean the deepest, darkest stuff that God brought on us or loves that it happened to us. It just means when it happens, because we're living in Satan's world, we keep our eyes on Him, we sing, and we praise Him in the middle of the dungeon, in the middle of the night, in the jail, in the Philippian jail, and then God comes through. Somewhere, sometime, it might be that day, it might be a year, a month, several years, but eventually you go, aha, I see how God has used that, you know. And it wasn't fun to go through. In fact, it was horrible. But yet on the other side, down the road, I can see where it has made a better person out of me in several ways. I have now ministered to others, and others' lives have maybe been spared because of what I've shared. Maybe their eternity has been spared because God has done that. That's why he comes back and he says, therefore, we are more than conquerors. In other words, we can conquer because God conquers, and he does it for his children. We are more than conquerors. All right, so we are conquerors, but I like to emphasize that word more, Kevin. More. You and I were talking about this even before the show started. You and I both have experienced these kinds of things. We are more than conquerors. But folks, think about that. We memorize that verse and we kind of skip over the power of the word more. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Oh, that's so sweet. That's so pretty. Yes, it is sweet. It is pretty, but it's powerful because more means you are a conqueror, but even more. Well, where do you get that from, Carl? You get it right out of the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Wow. Now, so we're conquerors, but what else are we? He's making out of us a new creation. Okay? So he's doing something in our life. He's actively, again, it's like a grandparent working actively in the grandchildren's life, or like a parent working actively in that child's life that you would lay your life down for, even in all of their badness. You know, I mean, they're loving and everything, but kids do bad things and they smart off and they talk back. And then the older they get, the more they, you know, but you love them. You would die. You would stand in front of a train for them. Well, God stood in front of a train for you through Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That's how much he loves you. And so when he says you're more than conquerors, we are conquerors, but also we're a new creation. And that word is, It's in the Greek language, what it does, it's a continual process. He's working on us continually, you know. And I think there was an old country gospel song called "He's not through working on me yet." You know, he's still working on me. You know, and that's a comforting thing that we are a new creation, and under the blood, our junk, our sins, our sin nature is forgiven, so that we can serve him now and be with him forever throughout eternity and all that he's going to do in eternity. That's another show we ought to do sometime. Okay, but for right now, just hone in on that word, more than conquerors. Well, what's one of the first things that's more than that? You're a new creation. God's not going to just say, okay, you're saved. Now, I got other things to do. I'll see you when you die. No, he's in your life. He's working on you through the Holy Spirit of God in you. He's helping you to become a better person in the word and in him. So there's that. Well, you know what else 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says right after that? And I'm just going to paraphrase this as I'm thinking. And therefore, you are Christ's ambassadors, as though God is making his appeal through you. I mean, it says that. So it says, first, I'm working on you, and I'm changing you. Why? Because you're going to represent me. To who? To the world. To your family, your friends, the places where you work, the places where you play, the places where you do your hobbies, the golf course, the fishing hole, whatever. And what are you? You're an ambassador. Well, what's an ambassador? Well, let's think of it in the political sense. A president or a king has people that he sends out, men and women that he sends out, into foreign areas where he personally is not, but yet you represent that king or that president. You know his thoughts. He tells you his thoughts. Then you speak those words as though they are the words of that king or that president. And the people listen to you because you have been officially appointed as an ambassador. Well, that's another more. We're conquerors, but we're more than that. We're a new creation. We've also been appointed to be his ambassadors in this world. He trusts us. He's teaching us. He's changing us. He's smoothing off the rough edges so that what? So that we can do things like I'm doing. Now, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be on the radio or TV. You don't have to be in a pulpit. But yet, if you are a believer and you're born again, you're a witness for the Lord. You're either just a good one or a bad one. Now, that's up to you and the Lord. But the bottom line is you're an ambassador everywhere you go. God will open the doors. He will trust you with more and more. He will show you ways that you can minister, that you can help people, that you can minister to people, that you can speak the gospel to people. You might lead somebody to a born-again relationship, change their whole eternity. They may go back to their home, share that with their family. Maybe they're saved. I mean, because what? Because you are more than a conqueror. You are a conqueror, but you're also a new creation, and you're also an ambassador for the kingdom work. Oh, man, I love this stuff. In Revelation chapter 5, here's another thing you are. We are called a kingdom of priests. Now, that sounds all fancy and ecclesiastical, but what does that mean? Basically, it's very similar to ambassador, but it means at a very deep biblical level. I mean, we pray over people. We minister to people. We go to the hospital at the bed of somebody that's dying, maybe just a friend or a friend of a friend, and they've asked us, could we go? We go, and we're an ambassador of the Lord, yes, but now we're a priest. Now we're kneeling at their bed. We're holding their hand. We're putting our hand on their head or their shoulder. We're praying for them. We're comforting their soul. I've been there so many times, brother, and lay people in our church too. Again, you don't have to have a preacher's badge to do that, but you got to know who you are and who God expects you to be and who he's working on you. And so now we become a kingdom of priests. And that not only applies in this life, but in the life to come. The Word of God says that. Again, we got to do another show on that. It also says in Romans 8, verse 17, says we are therefore joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heir, what? What? Well, the Bible says that it all belongs to him. He created it all. Satan tried and stole a bunch of it, you know, but Jesus has paid the price. He's won the battle. He's bought it back. And there's coming a new heaven, a new earth, a new day, a new everything. And we get to be a part of it. And it says we're joint heirs. I mean, we share in all that he has created, all that he has done. We've got that to look forward to and to walk in that now, to understand. We're not just, the world thinks we're scrags. The world thinks we're conspiracy theorists and idiots. But if we're in the Word and we're handling the Word rightly, correctly, and we're just living for the Lord, nobody does it perfectly, Kevin. Even I don't do it. I know everybody thinks I'm perfect, but I'm not. I'm glad my wife's not listening today. But as a priest, as ambassadors, as a new creation in work, we become joint heirs with the Lord. And whatever God's going to do in all of eternity, we will have a part of it. He will give us a part of it. That's amazing. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 says, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, don't you understand? Don't you realize who you are? You will one day judge angels. And most scholars believe he means like the fallen angels, those that have been messing with your mind, those demonic presences, those demonic incursions, those demonic manipulations. One day, all of that will be brought to the judgment seat. And we will judge. We are priests with him. We will rule and reign with him. We will judge angels. The Bible says that. Don't you know it's the day's coming? You will judge angels. You will sit on the jury. You will be the ones. You will judge angels. And I mean, that's amazing to think about, beyond our ability to. But that's how God sees us, folks. That's what I'm trying to say. So we're conquerors, yes, but we're more than conquerors. We're a new creation. We're ambassadors. We're a kingdom of priests. We're joint heirs in what's to come. We will judge angels. And then I love what John chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says. And to all who believed upon Jesus Christ, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. In Hebrew, that's the B'nai Elohim. That's what Adam and Eve were called. That's what the obedient angels are called, the B'nai Elohim. That's Hebrew. And that's only used 6 or 7 times in the Old Testament. And every time he's talking about those on the other side of the veil that are not fallen. And he's given you that power because the blood of Jesus covers you. Now you walk as a son of God. Or a child of God. For women listening saying, why would you say son? Well, we men are also called the bride of Christ. All right, so give me a break here. All right, so, but you know, they're metaphors that encompass all of us. So sons of God means men and women. The bride of Christ means men and women. But they're pictures of how powerful and special we are to the Lord. More than conquerors.
More than conquerors. That's an incredible story. It's an incredibly encouraging story, the way God sees us, even though it's hard to believe that God sees us that way. But the analogy of how a parent or grandparent will look at a child, and it's so much more than that we can't even comprehend it.
Can't even comprehend it. And because we're sinners, yet we can love our kids with that kind of love. How much more can a perfect God love his creation who loves him?
It's a Relevant Word with Pastor Carl Gallops. Pastor, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you for being here, folks. May the Lord bless you and keep you always.
Now, more than ever, we need to listen to God. He still speaks through His Word, the Bible. Each week, Pastor Gallops shares what the Word of God is saying, even now. A Relevant Word with longtime pastor and best-selling author Carl Gallops. To access Pastor Carl and to listen to his podcast anytime, visit carlgallops.com. Thanks for listening.